Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
On the line with us right now is one of my favorite people in broadcasting, Al. And one of my favorite people who ever played in the uniform of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Right.
From NBC Sports Philadelphia, the great Seth Joyner. Hi, Seth!
Angelo, how are you doing this morning, my friend?
I'm doing great, Seth. It's a great, great, great to have you on our show. Seth, I was just curious, did you enjoy the game Monday night that the Eagles won by 15 points?
I enjoyed the game towards the end. I can't say I enjoyed it so much at the beginning of the game, the first half. It was a little tough to watch.
What bothered you the most, Seth?
Well, I mean, you know, the Eagles had some, you know, some opportunities in the first half to just really put the game away. You know, Carson missed a couple of throws. You know, I felt like, you know, we could have really taken advantage of the Washington Redskins and really, you know, stepped on them early in the game and discouraged any fight that they might have had in them. But, you know, they actually came out and made it a game in the first half, you know, and to me, that's just dangerous. You know, it could be really, really dangerous. You know, we had a good first drive. We go down, we score for the first time, for the second time all year in the first drive. But, you know, I just think, you know, sometimes defensively, you know, you have an opportunity to choke out a second-string quarterback, you know, and you let Colt McCoy have a little bit of success early in the game. And then all of a sudden, you know, he goes out, and Mark Sanchez, you know what he is, and you know what he brings to the table. You know, you apply a little pressure, you know, and he'll fold up like a cheap Samsonite. But we sat there and we let the guy, you know, come in the game and look like, you know, he could still play quarterback for a while. I mean, I'm not a fan of allowing teams, specifically division teams, that you're going to have to play again. I'm not of the mindset that you give those guys any kind of confidence. You know, you choke them out early. You let them know that we're going to see you in a couple of weeks, and this is what you can expect all over again. You take it out of them.
Well, I want you to understand, I love the post-game show, especially the beginning of it, when a lot of really strong things come out right after I enjoy the game. And it got me a little annoyed, Seth, when I had seen the defense shut out the Redskins in the second half, and your first comments were negative toward the defense. You see how that might have upset someone who had just enjoyed a fine Eagles victory?
Well, Angelo, let me tell you, my friend, I don't do my job for the enjoyment of how people feel.
Okay.
I'm paid to analyze the game of football.
All right.
I'm paid to look down the road and see how the game, you know, how this game affects this football team. Because this is a city of extremely passionate football fans.
It's true.
And, you know, my mindset has never been, oh, well, I'm just satisfied with a win. You know, last year was a phenomenal year. And there was a lot of good things that happened last year that are not happening this year. But we are comparing this year to the great success of last year. And we can talk about, you know, all the things that have gone wrong that contribute to the reason why we're not sitting in the same position that we were in last year.
Right.
But you don't get to talk about, oh, we're still in the playoff race and da-da-da.
You
no.
don't play that game. I
no.
get you.
But you can't do that because, right. You know what? If the intent is to still win the division, if that's what you believe and that's what you think, then they can't keep playing the way that they've been playing in subsequent weeks with the expectation that they're going to run the table and get to the playoffs and all of a sudden find the magic again.
Right,
so
well,
you
Seth,
understand my frustration as
absolutely.
An analyst and my frustration as a fan because I want them to succeed.
Right. Well, my comments were mildly critical and done with enormous respect, right? And then what happened next, Seth, I had no control over, because Howard Eskin came on, and he had heard these same remarks, and he attacked you. Now, this is not me, and I did not, Al, did I do anything to encourage this?
No.
Nothing whatsoever. All right, Seth, but then this is what Eskin said about you.
It's the perfect time of the year for Seth Turner. It's the Grinch that steals away a win instead of stealing away Christmas. Seth Joyner is the biggest whiner and complainer I have ever heard. Just shut up.
All right, Seth. Again, that was Eskin, and I would like to know if you would like to respond to that. It sounds like you've been having a little go on Twitter with him. What would you like to say to Eskin?
Do you think I give a damn what Howard thinks about me?
Well, no, I think he was just referring
to it's like, you know, if I worried about what people like that have said about me,
right.
I would have never become the player that I became.
It's true.
I would never be the analyst that I am. I don't worry about stuff like that, realistically.
When you were a player, did you, Seth? Like, you must have known Eskin when you were a player, right?
Oh, yeah.
And did you have a high opinion of him then?
I knew of him. I knew a lot of him.
Okay.
And I knew he was a pot stirrer back then.
Yeah.
Buddy couldn't stand him and wanted to kick his ass.
Right.
So it was just, you know, I knew, but I don't worry about it, you know, because, you know, listen, my job is to analyze, and my job is to see, decipher, and share that with the viewing public.
Well, you're brilliant at it.
I'm not employed by the Philadelphia Eagles. And when you're doing the type of job that I do, it's really all about fair and equitable journalism.
Yes.
Okay.
I got you.
So I'm not gonna capitulate to the fact that, oh, you know, you got to be careful because you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. No, my job is to tell the fans what I see and what I believe based upon my experience as a player and my knowledge about the game of football.
Right. And I think it's important that we clarify, you have no real concern or interest in what Howard's reaction is.
None whatsoever.
Okay.
Now, if he wants to spar and go toe-to-toe, we can most certainly do that.
Right.
If he wants to debate, you know, you guys want to set it up, you know, put us in the ring, put the cameras on, put some mics up, I will debate Howard Eskin on the ins and outs of football until the cows come home. That's right up in my wheelhouse.
Okay.
Because I've got the knowledge and the wisdom and the experience of the game of football, not only from playing it for 13 years and playing it at the highest level, but I've played for some of the greatest minds to ever think about how do you dissect offensive football. There's one thing for me to know. It's one thing for me to know defensive football. It's another thing for me to climb into the minds of an offensive coordinator and think about how he thinks and think about what he's trying to do. Okay, so if he wants to debate, let's run it.
But here's the one thing I'm concerned about now, Seth, is it's kind of implying you don't think Howard has that level of knowledge.
No, I mean, listen, he can have an opinion. Isn't he making the assumption that I'm the biggest whiner?
Yeah.
That I'm espousing my opinion?
Yeah,
so if I'm espousing my opinion, that's his thought. I can think along the same lines at the other end of the spectrum, can I not?
Oh, absolutely. But he has said to me many times, Seth, that his presence on the sideline during games has made him extremely knowledgeable of the X's and O's of the game.
Okay.
I think what he's saying is he would match his knowledge against yours because he has done it for so long.
It ain't even close.
No, it isn't.
Something.
Yeah.
No, it ain't even close.
All right.
Are you kidding me? When you live it, when you study it, when you are mentored in it, when you become a student of the game, when you become a student of mastering your craft, you're going to tell me somebody who's just looked at it for 20 years has an edge on how and what he sees because he stood on the sideline and watched it?
He gives injury updates.
Nice.
I love you, Seth. You're the best. I love you so much.
Nice.
I can't tell you. Seth, I'm going to tell you one thing. I love you, and B, I fear you. Both. I want that.
You don't have to, listen, you don't have to fear me. There's nothing to fear, okay?
Well, you're a very menacing person. You're scared.
No, hey, listen, I've lived a blessed life, okay?
Yeah.
I live in Arizona. I get to play golf all year round. I got a great job. I get to, you know, talk about the game that I love, that I know, that I understand. I got great kids, great family. Please tell me, what is it that I have to be angry or menacing about? That's what I don't understand. Because you don't see me smile every time I'm on TV that I'm not showing all 32.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Or 36, however many it is. Really?
I don't know.
There's nothing for you to be afraid of, Angelo. I'm not going to bite you.
Okay.
I haven't hit anybody since, you know, since I retired in 1999. So you're safe.
Well, I totally agree with that. But if you don't mind, we'll maintain doing interviews just on the phone. Is that okay, Seth?
No, next time I'm coming in the studio.
Could you let me know ahead of time? I got a couple.
Oh no, it's your show. Where are you going?
All right, have a couple of surgical procedures to schedule, and I'll try to tie them into your appearance.
Well, you're a doctor?
No, no, I'm the actual patient, Seth. Seth, I love you, man. You're the best. Seth, you know, all these years later, people still love the way you play football. And we do. We all agree with you on one thing. Aggressive football, especially on defense. We got to see more of it on Sunday. That's a big game Sunday, Seth. That's big.
You just have to. I think a lot of times people think that, you know, my thought process is, you know, along buddies. You know, Buddy could be up 30 points and still be bringing the heat at teams.
Right.
You know, there has to be, you know, some kind of equilibrium to how you bring pressure, because the rules of the game have changed. The objectives of the game in a lot of ways have changed. I think that you can't sit back and play coverage the entire game. If our defensive line was playing at the level that it played at last year.
Yep.
You know, you could get away with that. But even last year, we brought a little more pressure than we bring this year. You know, you're going to tell me that, you know, when you play against Eli Manning twice, and you play against Blake Bortles, and you play against Dak Prescott, who up until the first time that we played him was averaging under 200 yards a game, and he walks in the length and racks up 270 yards. You know, you're going to play against Colt McCoy and Mark Sanchez, and you're going to let those guys sit in the pocket and get comfortable. I understand your defensive philosophy from Jim Schwartz's standpoint. That all works. That's all fine and dandy when you're getting the pressure. But we're not applying the same type of pressure out of the front four as we did last year.
I'm with
you,
man.
So somewhere in there, let's mix up a couple of pressures. Let's speed up the clock of the quarterback and make them make critical decisions.
Yep.
I think we blitzed twice on Monday night, and the first time we blitzed, guess what happened? Looky here. We bring pressure, and Mark Sanchez throws Geary an interception.
Yep.
We could have had about 10 of those if we brought more pressure at Mark Sanchez, really. He is a turnover machine.
Seth, I wish we had more time. I'm right up against the break here, but can I just thank you for doing this and let you know that we love when you're on that post-game show? And you know, I believe, this is just a theory, that both Didinger and Brooks also fear you.
No, and listen, I got the greatest relationship with Ray and Barrett, man. We've been working together too long.
Okay.
You know, for there to be any kind of fear. So, you know, I have the utmost respect, you know, for the godfather of Philadelphia sports, Ray Didinger. Nothing but respect.
Right. Well, hold on. More than for Eskin?
Listen, if I had to do that show with Howard Eskin, I'd quit.
Seth, we love you, man. Thank you for doing this. Seth, you're awesome. Guys. Thanks a lot.
Hey, next time you have me on,
yep.
Have the self-professed king
yep.
show up instead of Twitter baiting me. Right. Show up on the show. I'll carve out some time to do a whole half hour and undress him.
That'd be Seth. Believe me, I'll count the days till that happens. I promise you. Thank you,
Take
Seth.
Care, guys.
Thanks,
Take
Seth.
Care.
Joy to ladies and gentlemen.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us, and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.